name's Denise, and I'm an addict.
Hey, Denise.
Whew, let me take a deep breath. First of all, let me say I'm really, really happy to be here. I want to thank God for allowing me to be clean another day, and truly for being asked to do this. I am a nervous wreck. And when I'm nervous, I do like to stand. I took my shoes off. I'm just like overwhelmed, and I had to speak on Tuesday. I celebrated my anniversary on Tuesday, 15 years, and this is truly an honor, you know, and I just would have never, ever thought that I would be up here speaking to a bunch of recovering addicts, given any kind of message of anything. So this is truly an honor for me, truly an honor. You know, when I was asked to do this meeting and they gave me the topic, I said, oh, do you have a couple days? Because after being around here a while, I found out that my disease has manifested itself in so many ways. It's unreal. And the longer I stay here, the sneakier it gets and the different ways it tries to come into my life. And as soon as I was asked to do this meeting, it was an honor. But one of the first symptoms that creeped up was, you ain't got nothing good to say. You're not worthy to do this. And I just had to remember that I'm just going to try to give the message of recovery the way it was given to me and some of my experience and some of my strength and some of my hope. And what I have been told and some of the things that I have discovered about what some of my symptoms are and what keeps me sick here. I was at a meeting just a few minutes ago where the woman shared on, it was 10 years and over or whatever. And, I mean, it was a good message, and I was in tears, not because I was sad, but because I could relate to so much of it. Because for me, being around here after a while and, you know, getting clean and leaving the stuff alone, you know, that has really truly been the easy part. This recovery part and this character defects and looking within, which is, you know, my disease lives up in here and it talks to me all the time. I have like a couple committees going on. And I have to stay connected and I have to talk to people because if I stay away too long and not connect and not let people know where I am, I get real sick. And I'm so grateful for these rooms and so grateful for you people to help me get a little better one day at a time. You know, before I ever, ever picked up, I was not good enough, pretty enough, smart enough, thin enough, you know, enough boobs, enough hips. I was just never enough. And even today, I'm sometimes just not ever enough. And thank God for you people to let me know that I am okay. You know, the sister that shared across the hall, you know, she was talking about after you've been here for a little while, your behind drops, you know, and your boobs change. And you know, and I had to raise my hand because, you know, that's what's happened. I came in here, I was cute. You know, I was cute, and you couldn't tell me nothing. And then I got older, and the boobs changed, and I got real uncomfortable because, once again, something was wrong with me. You know, I wasn't thin enough, and I wasn't, you know. And so it's been real difficult to be okay living in my own skin one more time. You know, this disease talks to me so many ways. You know, recently, it's been about a month now, I picked cigarettes back up. I had quit for over 2 years, and I picked them up like that. You know, the disease said, it's time to smoke again. I don't know why. But of course, I'm like, hey, I'm not ready to quit right now, and that's okay, and I'll deal with it. I did it before, I'll do it again, and, you know, yada, yada, yada. About 3 or 4 years into recovery, you know, I, you know, wasn't quite as crazy, wasn't quite as off the wall, and someone sent me a credit, a thing that you're pre-approved for credit. I had arrived, okay? I didn't have no credit when I was out there. I just didn't have any. So I signed up, and people said, well, you know, you need to be careful and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I got this under control. So I signed my name, and they sent it back. And then somebody else sent one, and I started going into the stores. And do y'all have instant credit? Because, you know, I had shit to flash where they could give me instant credit. And, oh, I don't know, 5, 6 years into recovery, I had 12 credit cards and was $25,000 in debt. But that wasn't my disease. That wasn't addiction. I was just doing what I deserved. I deserved good credit. I was a responsible human being, and I was out of control. And you couldn't tell me I was using. You couldn't tell me it was part of the disease, even though I was getting cash advances to pay the credit card bills. So I finally decided that maybe there's a little more to this. Maybe this is part of my disease working my ass, making me crazy, because I was miserable. I finally hit a bottom when my daughter got sick. My daughter got mononucleosis and had to come home from school, and I didn't have the money to take her to the doctors. And I felt just as low, just as bad as I did at the end of my use and when I wasn't taking care of my children. And at that point, I took my credit cards to my therapist, because I've had to seek outside help. I don't know about the rest of y'all. And took them with me and cut them up in her office just in case I had a nervous breakdown up in there, because I didn't want to do it. And she said, what are you doing? I said, just in case I lose my mind, you can just call 911 and they can just cart me off from here. Just take me away. That's how bad I was caught up in it. And I was in so much denial, and I was in so much pain, and it was crazy. So then a couple more years down the road, that's when I decided, well, we're going to put the cigarettes down. You know, it's time to get healthy. You know, recovery is, you know, physical, emotional, spiritual. So I'm going to put the cigarettes down. So I, you know, like a responsible, intelligent person that I am, I picked a date and, you know, found this website and blah, 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 and asked for the patch for Christmas. And I got it, and I put it on, and I didn't smoke. But I ate everything that wasn't nailed down. and here it is. Whew. So I'm still in therapy, and now she wants me to look at my eating issues. You know, I ate when, you know, well, when do you eat? When I'm hungry. Well, when's that? All the time. Well, you need to distinguish hunger from, you know, crunchy things mean you're angry, and, you know, sweet things mean you want a hug and all that shit. And I was like, it just tastes good and I want it. But once again, I had to look and, you know, one more time, look at what's going on. What are you doing? So I started writing down. She said, well, write down what you eat and how you feel and how you feel before, how you feel after. I was like, God, this is so much work. But that's what recovery has been for me, work. And it's always looking at something. You know, I get so tired of the issues. You know, we just throw that word around, you know, the I word. And, but, you know, I know that if I don't keep working on myself, if I don't become familiar with the symptoms of my disease, then I'm going to get caught up in it again. You know, because I know how, you know, I've talked about it, but I just know how easy it was to pick them cigarettes up. I went into the store to buy some candy, and I said, oh, and give me a pack of cigarettes. Went back, I was on a, I was away from home at a job function, and I went back up into my hotel room. It was a smoking room, and I lit up, and I was just as happy as could be. And, you know, this disease, for me, is cunning and baffling. It's insidious, and it's patient. And the longer I stay here, the harder I have to work. Because some of this stuff is real obvious. You know, when I'm ready to act out, I'm usually pretty good at noticing some of those things. You know, I've gotten pretty good with the shopping thing now. You know, I usually know when I'm shopping to my feelings and when I'm shopping because I just want to shop. You know, sometimes I even shop when I actually need something. You know, the good news is I don't have no credit card, so, you know, it's cash, and, you know, I won't spend the rent money and all that shit, you know, the mortgage money or whatever you want to call it. So that has gotten better. But my disease still talks to me, you know. It still tells me that something's wrong with you, and you're just not worthy, and you don't deserve. And one of the things that I have found, you know, the sister, you know, I'm just repeating so many of the things that she's, you know, I guess I was supposed to go to that meeting and hear her message to help me get in tune and in touch with myself, you know. So many times my disease comes out in it's fear. You know, I'm still so afraid of so many things. And the fear keeps me from moving forward. You know, Most of my adult life has been in the banking/mortgage business. And for so long, that's all I did and that's all I knew how. And I was good at it. That's all I knew how to do. And I was so afraid that there was nothing else I could do. Because once again, I'm not smart enough. I'm not good enough. I'm not enough. And and I would always talk about, I'm getting out, I'm getting out, I'm getting out. And I guess God said, well, you ain't going to do nothing. So I got laid off. And and it was a blessing in disguise because I didn't realize until after the fact just how crazy I had gotten, just how stressed I had gotten, and just how unconnected with the program I had gotten and with myself I had gotten. You know, I was so busy concentrating on doing this good job. You know, I was real excited about this job. I was working for a minority-owned mortgage company, and it was just, oh, this is wonderful, and, you know, my skills and blah, blah, blah. And I was absolutely crazy by the time I left that place. And the level of stress and the I was so stressed out and so disconnected from this program and myself, I just didn't realize the level of it. And it wasn't until some time had gone by that I just realized just how much I had been neglecting myself. And this disease will do that. This disease will tell you to stay busy, do this, do that. Don't take care of yourself. Don't be good to yourself because you don't deserve it. You're lazy. You're lazy. You know, you need to be a productive member of society. And so I collected unemployment. I'm going to, you know, get myself together, and I came across a job where I actually could use my skills. Imagine that. I could pick my hours and my days. Oh, my God. And I've been there almost a year now. And even now, though, sometimes I'm afraid to say, well, this is what I need and this is what I want, and to, like, kind of, I'm kind of like the one that decides how it's going to be, you know, and that's real nice. But once again, sometimes I think, well, you know, Denise, you're only 40 so-and-so. I'm not going to tell you how. That's right. And, you know, you really should be working full time, you know, because you're not that old. You know, once again, you know, I'm not worthy. I don't deserve the things that I want. I don't deserve to try to do something different, you know, break out of the mold, break out of some of the norm stuff. So anyways, one of the things that's going on in my life today is that I have a friend who's into all this herbal stuff, whatever. I'm a gardener and trying to get into some, you know, natural stuff and whatever. And it's real interesting because it's a friend who I hadn't spoke to in a while because, you know, she pissed me off and I ain't going to call her back. You know, and so, you know, who she, you know, and too much pride and too much everything. And missed her like hell. You know, missed having her as my friend. That's crazy. Not picking up the phone and saying, hey, let's work this out. So anyways, at one of my lowest times, after the weight and no job and all that other stuff, I couldn't take it no more, and I had to swallow my pride and call. And, you know, come to find out, she was kind of in the same place I was in. She was going through some stuff with her son, which I've already been there, done that. And come to find out, a lot of our goals and some of our dreams are in the same direction. And so we've come up with this brilliant idea to try to have a business. Now, of course, you know, the addiction is jumping up and saying, you can't do that. You don't know how to do this. But today I know I can do this today because I work for a small business. I work for a husband and wife business, and so I see what's involved in a business. And if for no other reason, I know I'm there to learn this. I know that's why I'm there. And I also know today that some of my dreams and some of my goals for what I want to do with this are okay, and I deserve it. And all I have to do is not be afraid and work towards it. Now, the fear part takes some work. You know, I've got all these ideas in my head, you know, but I am afraid, you know, but I'm trying to put one foot in front of the other. You know, and sometimes this disease will make you take, you know, two steps forward and one step back. Sometimes it'll make you two steps forward and two steps back, you know. I'm so glad, you know, gratitude was not something that I had when I first came in here. I mean, I was happy to be here, you know, this is a great place to be, and, you know, y'all recovery and, you know, helping me and all that other stuff. But I'm real grateful these last few years of recovery because I have gotten a little better. And when my disease starts talking loud, I've got friends today in a network that will say, Denise, that don't make no sense. What are you talking about? That makes sense to you? And then I'm able to talk and see what part is disease and what part isn't, you know. I don't know, somehow or another, to me, the longer I stay, the smarter this disease gets, you know, or the dumber I get. I don't know. I'll know which way it's working. Another thing that happens for me, and it doesn't happen as often, but it still happens, is that instant gratification stuff. God damn it, I want it right now. And I want to fix it right now. And I don't want to wait. And, you know, this is what I want, and I know this is the right thing. And if it's not the right thing, well, then I'll find out. And I have to try real hard to stay out of that compulsive shit. A lot of y'all know that recently I had to, I'm a nature animal person. You know, my house is Wild Kingdom. And I recently had to put one of my dogs down. So, of course, the next day I was going, you know, the way to fix that, to not feel that pain, to not cry, to not hurt, none of that was to run out and get another dog. Good news is I haven't done it, you know, and I still cry about it. You know, and I still talk about it, and I still go, you know, but for real, I have not wanted to feel that pain at all. And the good news is that I know I'll never replace this dog. But that was my first reaction. The other thing that's going on in my life today is that I haven't talked to my son in over a year. And this has nothing to do with symptoms or whatever. It's just where I am today and the sadness that it gives me. You know, he's one of us. He just don't know it yet. You know what I'm saying? And my disease wants, you know, me and my control and all this. You know, I want to run out and find him and fix him. But for real, he has the information. He has the information. You know, I have not kept my recovery or my addiction or none of that shit a secret from nobody that's close to me in my life. You all need to know just how sick I am and now what I'm trying to do about it. And he chooses not to do that. And that's been real difficult to let go and to not get all caught up and to not feel like this is all my fault. You know, the reality is this. I did the best that I could, just like my mom and dad, and I don't blame them for me anymore. You know, for real, I knew right from wrong a long time ago. And I made choices in my life that I knew were hurtful to me. I knew were dangerous to me. I knew were self-destructive, and I did it anyways. Because I'm going to get you back. You know, and that's part of how my disease, I stayed in my disease for a long time, getting people back. I'll show you. So anyways, he's wherever, has chosen not to communicate with his family, and I have to work real hard not to think that, you know, I mean, damn, he's going to be 26 years old. Hello? You know, and not stay caught up in the guilt and the shame and the, all that stuff that I had when I first came in here. Because, you know, I was all that, and so I had made him all, you know, I was the one that ruined him. You know, but the reality is, on the other side, I have a 22-year-old daughter who's getting ready to graduate from college with her master's. Mm-hmm. So, hello. And I had to let myself off the hook and see that, allow him to make the choices and see that he's making some choices, not real good choices, but they're some of the same choices that I made. And you know how we want to fix shit and don't go down that path and all that, we know. And he used to exchange war stories with me and talk about he's not an addict. I said, if you're going to sit here and exchange war stories with me, hello, you need to be right here. But, you know, he's got to figure that out. I was 30-something when I came up in here. You see, I know y'all know how to do some math in here. So anyways, and he's 26, so you figure, you know, he's got a few more years if he's going to follow in my footsteps. And, you know, I all I can do is pray and hope that he will find these rooms. Because for real, I am scared to death that this disease will kill him. I know this disease kills people. I've seen too many people die from this disease. When I came in these rooms, I remember coming into treatment and the counselor saying, look to your right and look to your left, and one of y'all's not going to make it. And I said, it's not going to be me. Even in my disease, I was too fucking selfish. And it's like, I am not going. I'm staying here. And I'm staying here for the duration. I'm staying here for the duration. And I'm so glad you all are here for me with my disease and with my symptoms and with my character defects and love me anyways. There is no place on this earth like here. And when you all said you will love me until I learn to love myself, you all weren't lying. You all have never lied to me. You've sometimes given some information every once in a while. You know, people love to give information that ain't in the basic text. It's like, where's that? Where'd you get that shit from? You know, once again, it's take what you need and leave the rest, you know. Whew, I was a nervous wreck when I've been a nervous wreck all week. Just crazy. I'm so glad to be here. I was so glad I was asked to do this. You know, I know I'm with friends. I know I'm where I belong. You know, I haven't been to this convention in a while. You know, I remarried in recovery, and my husband and I came to this convention, I don't know how many years ago, as friends. And We left as lovers. And so this convention has always had kind of a special, hey, well, you know, I was still real sick, you know what I'm saying, you know. What can I say? It was a fireplace there. What do you want? So it has a special meaning for me anyways, to come down here. You know, I know Preston's going to be my little 5 minutes thing here. It's very, you know, very briefly, you know, I just mentioned I am married, and I remarried in recovery, and you want to see your disease manifest itself and see the many symptoms of your disease, marry somebody that's in the rooms, okay? Okay? Marry somebody that's in the rooms, okay? Because, you know, I know what kind of program he should be working. I do. Whew. So, of course, all my control issues and all of my sick stuff just comes up. It's like, hello. But being in a relationship and being married has made me have to work on myself. I have to. Because if I don't, and I'm all on his side of the street, I get real good and crazy. My friends can testify to that. Just good and crazy when I'm on his side of the street. But once again, I do know better. And so, you know, I have to help him out a little bit. Mm-mm-mm. This is an awesome program. I will say this, and then I'm going to shut up because I don't want Perez kicking me or nothing like that. If you're new, please stay. If you've been here a while, please stay. And work this program. You know, do the basics and get in touch with yourself and stop playing. Don't play around with this. You don't have to take yourself serious. But you really need to take this disease serious, because this disease will take you out of here in a heartbeat. And I know for me, it is only by God's grace that I am standing here today, because I did shit that could have taken me out of here numerous times. And it doesn't mean, and I ain't talking about using, I'm talking about putting myself in situations that I knew better, that were dangerous and just crazy. And I just don't want to live like that today. You don't have to live like that today. You know, one day at a time, it does get better. And just thank everybody for letting me share and being here. I love you all. I love this program. And I will keep coming back.
To introduce the second speaker, Andre.
I'm an addict. My name is Andre. Well, I have said my prayers. I have done my research. And now we're going to see what comes out. You see, I have this thing that I know, being around here a while, that you can plan what you want to do. But it comes out some different sometimes, right?
Yeah.
Now, I do believe in doing my research, because I've been in school for a long period of time since I've been in this program. And one thing I've learned to do is to study the information. You start talking about Narcotics Anonymous, like Denise was talking about. Whew. Like Denise was talking about, you know, you don't want to come in here and just come out with any kind of thing. Because I've heard people come into meeting rooms with just any kind of thing, with any idea they get from anywhere, they bring it to Narcotics Anonymous, and they take it out like a real information. And, you know, you leave some people kind of confused, perplexed, you know. And I ain't trying to do that. So, what I do is I do research. I go back to the basic text. I study the information. First of all, let me just thank the South Potomac area for inviting me to come up here and do this. You know, I've been living in law for 6 years. But prior to that, I was growing up in South Potomac. And that's where they taught me the steps and the value of step meetings, the value of studying the information and studying the program, because this is what works. You know, all the great ideas you got, because you're a real smart guy, you know, you can put some of those aside. So we're going to get into this topic, this workshop on many symptoms of one disease. First thing I like to do is, with the guys I sponsor, we start talking about things that we read. I say, we need to understand what it is we're talking about. So we get a bigger dictionary and we find out what we're talking about. All right? Now, there are bigger dictionaries with a lot more information, but this one was so exact in nature, when I saw it, it was like, phew, it's right there. So, we talk about many symptoms. And a symptom is defined as any circumstance or condition that indicates the existence as of a particular disease. So, we're talking about things that indicate that I have a disease of addiction. But what is a disease? Disease is defined as a particular destructive process in an organism. Something that tears it up, eats it up, breaks it down. This is what I'm talking about. This is what lives inside of me. Now, as far as the particular disease I have, the disease is called the disease of addiction. What addiction says is, to give oneself up to a strong habit. Okay. So now what we're talking about is we're talking about the existence of something that indicates that I have something inside of me that's killing me. And it's so powerful, I can't stop. Even when I want to. Even when I see the evidence is tearing up my family, my job, my relationship with God. The inability to look into the mirror because I don't like what I see. But I can't stop. And I'm trying to stop. But I can't. When we talk about the disease of addiction around here, y'all, you know, when I first heard it, I heard people talking about not liking who I was. And I could relate to that. Not liking Andre as a kid. I heard Denise talking about feeling unworthy, feeling less than. And I felt all of that. I did not like who I was. Did not like the conditions of my life. I did not like coming from a single family home. My dad wasn't there. I did not like going down to the store with food stamps to get tampons for my mom. I didn't like pork and beans and government cheese. I didn't like those things in my life. But there was nothing I could do about that, you know. But I hated me for that, you know. I did not like that about me. And I always felt less than. And that's when the seed of the disease was planted in me, because right then, that's what was given to me. This thing about not being good enough, you know. And it didn't help that my mother, in her confusion or whatever, alcohol all around the house and stuff that was going on as a result of alcoholism, you know. And as a result of her being an alcoholic, telling me, you ain't shit. Get the fuck, hey, shut the fuck. All those kind of things. This is the message I got. You're not good enough. Get the hell out of here. You're stupid. You're dumb. You're slow. You know? All these things that was tearing me up, you know? And this is how it started for me. And I carry this stuff, man, and it still lives inside of me. And I didn't know all of that to that extent until I came in here, you see, because I learned at an early age, you know, my mid-teens, to cover that stuff up with the alcohol, with the marijuana and other things that came behind that to give me what I needed to change who I was, to change how I felt, you know, to help me cope with life, to help me deal with life, you know. And so I covered all that other stuff up, and I really never dealt with it, you know. And I was on a destructive path. Now, last Sunday, Easter? Is that right? Okay, yeah. A good friend of mine, a guy I hadn't seen in like years, came to my home to celebrate an anniversary. He said something great to me. He just kind of reminded me that the core of my disease is self-centered fear. And for me, one of the first acronyms I got when I came in here that really made sense of the fear I felt was false evidence appearing real. That means no matter what I saw out there, I internalized it as something wrong. I'm here to tell you, I've been in school for like 8 years. I got a 3.2 average at this point. And I still go into every test thinking, oh man, I ain't got this. God, what am I going to do? Oh Lord, oh my God, I can't do this. I don't know. And I just do this to myself. I just constantly am fearful of things. I go to work and I'm afraid, I don't know when they're going to fire me tomorrow. You know, find out how I'm doing. Oh Lord, you know. And I'm doing real well. You know. But this thing inside of me won't let me say, you're okay. Won't let me say, you're doing well. You know. See, all the people leaving now, they don't like me. That's my disease. I can't internalize and take everything personal in life. That's what I'm learning here, y'all. You know, everything is not about me. But see, my disease is a disease that is self-centered in nature. You know, it makes me think everything is about me. You know? And I struggle. I do. And I've been around here a long time, and I still struggle. Like I said, I go back to the basic text, and I ask the next question is, what are these symptoms? Now, on page 20 of the basic text, it tells me that our inability to control our usage of drugs is a symptom of the disease of addiction. So that was the first clue I got when I came in here that I had the disease of addiction. But I couldn't stop. I couldn't stop when all the money was gone. You know? It then follows that to say we are powerless not only over drugs, but over our addiction as well. So that lets me know that there is something even more than drugs that I'm powerless over. I'm powerless over that addiction. I'm powerless over any strong habit that I pick up, any habit I make a tiny habit that grows into a bigger habit that I can no longer stop doing because it's what I do. It takes me outside of myself. It makes me feel more comfortable when I feel the dis-ease that I feel. You know? So I had to understand what the rest of that, the addiction thing was. Now, the other symptoms I found can be found in my character defects. And they can be identified when I start doing some step work. Now, some of these symptoms that I've been able to identify are things like low self-esteem, self-centeredness, procrastination. Anybody else got anything that they know about? Anybody want to say something? Anybody step work? Okay. How about lust?
Okay.
How about greed? Selfishness? Self-pity? Self-righteousness? Arrogance? And the list goes on and on and on and on, and all these things live inside of me. And they manifest themselves in different ways at different times. And when I first got here, I didn't know how to recognize them. Which is why I got a sponsor. Why I got a network. Why I went to step meetings. So that y'all could tell me what those things was. So I can understand this thing, so I can be better prepared to deal with this thing. I had a brother earlier in recovery who told me that if you did not, you know, prepare for success, then you prepared to fail. You know? So I had to get ready. Now, I had people telling me that because I like to read and because I'm intellectual. Because, now, these are things I ran from in high school, right? Smart kid I am, capable of doing A's and B's, but I was doing C's and D's because I didn't fit in. You know, I want to be all those guys that are being cool and everything, and they ain't gonna damn about no books. You know? But a lot of them ain't here today, y'all. You saying? So I thank God that God had put his hand of mercy upon me to guide me even now to make sure I was gonna be okay. Because I remember some of the places I went to, getting high and getting off work, and I walk in with a shirt and tie, and people were sitting around in a sweatsuit, they were sitting there for 3-4 days, looking at me like, who are you? You think you know that? What? Are you a police? No, I'm not a police. I'm an addict. I can't get high. You know? And the craziness, some guys will pull out guns and put guns in my face and pull my shirt up and check me for wires, you know? And I'd be like, okay, now we got to have to wake up. We get high now? Shouldn't something told me to get the hell out of there? But I'm an addict, y'all. I can't use. I got this strong habit that said, I got to go. You know, that don't mean nothing to me. Can we get high now? That's my thing, you know? And I remember after taking a couple of hits and the money gone and some of the things, the way some of these guys would talk to some of the women in the rooms. And the stuff they were saying, and I'd be like, I don't know. I ain't this kind of guy. I don't want to be like this. But it's where my disease took me. I'm powerless. And this thing had me locked down. Now, as an example of some of the things that the disease did for me, you know, did to me, I should say, or my symptoms were manifesting in my life, you know. One of the biggest thing at this particular point for me is lust. Right? That's where I'm at. Now, I don't know how to have a healthy relationship with a woman. You know, because when I was a teenager, I never dated a single girl from my high school because my low self-esteem told me I wasn't good enough. She'd tell me no. So I didn't interact like that. When I got a little older and I got a job and got some money, my means of a date was going out tricky. That's what I did on a regular basis. Because it was a lot easier for me to go in and say, here's the money. Can I do this now? And then go. All right, that was the reality for me. And it was shameful. I snuck around and he didn't talk about it. But it's what I did. And I had women talking to me like, baby, you're a nice looking guy. What you doing? What you made your girlfriend? Went, huh? We ain't got time to talk about that. Can we just do this? You know. And she like, oh, baby, you working with somebody? I'm like, no, I'm just saying to get my money. Don't worry about it. All right? Leave me alone. Let's just do this and get on with this. And I'm telling y'all, there were times when I'd be with this woman who was only here for the money, and I'd be trying to kiss her. Not knowing where her mom has been, you know what I'm saying? Who was before me, what she did, whatever. But I was trying to find some love. I was trying to find somebody to hug me and say, hey, baby, it's going to be all right. You know? Somebody cares about you. You know? I was trying to find that, and I couldn't find that. My only other alternative was to go out there and take some drugs, y'all, and lure somebody in with that. You know? So, needless to say, when I got clean, I couldn't do that no more. You know? At least not do drugs with it. You know what I'm saying? Right? Now, because I've done my share of the tricky thing. And I remember I had a sponsor, and I kept telling him about the pain I was feeling. Man, I felt bad. And for real, I come in rooms and criticize guys. I see pull up with newcomers. I'm like, man, oh, man. And I leave a meeting, go around the corner, and pick a girl up off the street. I'm doing something different. See, she's still out there. The ones in the room, they're trying to get this. So there's a difference in what's taking place, right? Right? Until somebody pointed out to me that she's not a crackhead, you know, she's a still suffering addict. And you as a member of my Narcotics Anonymous, you shouldn't be taking advantage of a still suffering addict. And I'm telling you, I struggled with that because I had a strong habit that I could not stop. And I had low self-esteem still talking to me, telling me I ain't worthy of nothing else other than that. And I can say today, y'all, it's been a couple months. It's been since year 2000. I made it. Man, that don't mean the disease don't still get up in my head, you know, and talk to me. couple nights ago and said, hey, look, you know, you're feeling lonely and stuff, man. You can go in, you got $200 in the pocket, you can run down here and grab two, three of them, man, show me where you want blood, go. And I struggled, man. I struggled with city that night. I swear to God I did. You know, now, I masturbated, but, you know, it got me through the moment. And I didn't grab a little something out of it and drag it back out of the thing. And I didn't put myself in a position where I watched her take a hit like I did when I had 3 years clean. And I'm looking at my medallion and I'm looking at the smoke right down the stem saying, damn, which one do I want the most? And then I saw her start geeking. I saw her pull out drawers from the dresser and look where she had even been. I'm going to pick up the man, look underneath the man. I'm, oh my God, no, 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 no. And I came home and I called my boys at 6 o'clock in the morning and said, man, I feel like I'm using, man. They're like, what's up? I said, man, I did this. I said, what? Man, you lucky to be here. What you doing? And I'm telling y'all, it was a struggle. It was a struggle. But just for the day. And that's what kind of program I got, a just for the day program. I can thank God that I ain't gone yet. You know? Right now, my thing is the internet. See, I got them sites that I can go to on the internet. And I can spend 8 to 10 hours surfing the net. Yeah, 8 to 10. That's a long time. I have been there at 10 o'clock at night, got up at 6 o'clock in the morning, tired, whipped, caught up. I opened a separate bank account so I can give just a credit card I can use on the net. You remember that? Change the money from this party because I ain't gonna spend it over here this time. I use. You remember that? Yeah. I'm talking about me. Now, Con, this is weird coming out like this, because I really didn't know if I was going to follow through with this. Now, I don't like doing a fifth step with all y'all. So. Some of y'all go to hell, you know. Then I got it on tape. It's kind of like a fourth step. You write it on paper. It's there. You can't deny it no more. You can't back up. I didn't say that. That's not what I meant. Wow. But the only way I've learned in here through South Potomac area is the only way you're going to get your real help, brother, is tell a real story. The only way you're going to really help somebody is to tell a real story. You can hem hard and procrastinate and play around and dance around all you want. People say, what the hell are you talking about? I don't understand what he's saying. What's up? So I got to give it up real. And I've been to a couple meetings and heard a couple brothers share about masturbation and other stuff. So I'm like, all right, I ain't by myself. You know, and if you help somebody free somebody else, I'm cool. God, whatever. But see, the time for me to duck and hide was when I was out there using. And believe me, I was ducking and hiding, but people knew I was using. Because it was telling on my body. It was telling on me. My behavior was just telling on me. These symptoms of disease, this behavior was telling on me all the time. I just didn't know. Now, another way that my symptoms manifest themselves for me is my procrastination. And that it goes in, like I said, sometimes these things come in bundles, you know what I'm saying? Groups. Because the internet thing could be a thing of low self-esteem. I ain't good enough to go out here and talk to a woman that's really trying to live a decent life. You know what I'm saying? The lust kicks in and says, I got to do something now. That disease, that uncomfortable feeling that I got to do something to make me feel good. You know? And this process of doing all that, the procrastination kicks in. I'm in school, y'all. You see, I said I got a 3.2 average, but it started with a 3.5. But my grades suffer when I spend 8 hours when I should be doing a paper, when I should be doing some studying, doing something else. And I can look at it and say, you're messing your life up, Dre. Look at the money you're spending doing this, man. Look at the time you're spending doing this. But I can't stop. I can't stop. Now, there's a solution. There's a solution. But unfortunately, it's disease that we suffer from is incurable and is only arrested a day at a time. When doctors deal with a disease, like a common cold, for instance, they take the symptoms, sneezing, coughing, headache, congestion, and they treat it with something. They can't deal with the disease itself, they can deal with the symptoms and arrest it like that. Now, we have a solution. Because who's ultimately is God. Now, God gave us the steps. And that's the solution we use in Narcotics Anonymous. And one more time, I didn't make this up. And I did my homework. I went to What Can We Do on page 53. And it says, we can only change the way we act and the way we see ourselves. Recovery is an act of change in our ideas and our attitudes. I have to change my ideas and my attitudes, but I can't do that by myself. If the disease of addiction is a self, is a disease that lives at the core of my self-centeredness, then ultimately the solution is for me to get outside of myself, to get outside of that selfishness, to get outside of self-pity, to get outside of self-righteousness, to get outside of selfishness. But I have to be careful where I get to when I'm getting outside. I have to get with God, because he's the solution. I have to get in his thing, and his thing is the steps. Because the steps guide me back to him. You know? The steps take me through being with him. The steps take me to meetings, sharing with newcomers, sharing with people in the rooms, and they help me, they give feedback. The steps take me to my sponsor. This is getting outside of myself. Something like that. And I kind of marked some things off in the basic text for this school. I just kind of want to say, step one kind of helps me identify where I'm at with this thing. Helps me know that I can't do this by myself, that this thing has got control over me. Step two tells me I'm going to be able to get some help. That there is a way for me to get help, so I'm not doomed to live this life forever. Step three tells me specifically where to go to find a job, my understanding, turn my will and my life over to him. And the reason why all these things are taking place in my life, all this procrastination and all this masturbation and all this stuff is going on, is because when God is saying, don't do that, go do this, I'm rebellious, I'm unwilling. They told me when I got here, I had to be honest, open-minded, and willing. Now, if I show up with being honest, yeah, this is what's going on, open mind, yeah, what it might be, but unwilling, take all three of them, not just one, then I'm not going to get free of this thing. So I have to take all three of them. Step four helps me identify myself and what's going on in my life. Step five helps me share what's going on in my life and tell y'all like I'm doing now. Step six says, to kick it. Because step six is the one that tells me, you can't do it. God can do this. So you truly, I got the answers right in front of me. It's just, are you willing to do it, Trey? And for real, are you willing to do it? I talk about simplicity is the key. Are you willing to do it just for today? Just do it today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow comes, you deal with that. And that's what the counselor told me when she broke me down in treatment. When I'm wondering, how am I not going to use? You know, everything in my life, I go to work, I use. I play basketball, I drink a beer. I go to the movies, I smuggle something in the pocket. I go to a dance, I do this. I just don't use. And she says, well, it's one day at a time, just don't use today. When tomorrow comes, just don't use today. So I have to apply those same principles to this particular situation because it's still the same disease. It's just another symptom. So, in conclusion, that would be my answer to where everything works, that if I just be obedient to my higher power, I can deal with these symptoms of my disease. And I must learn to recognize them because they mask themselves so well. In conclusion, I'd like to read something for you. Just a couple excerpts. It's a poem I wrote that God can bless me with because that's what I've discovered myself to be these days, a poet. He's blessed me with the word. Right? And it's like Denise was saying, my disease still talks to me with that low self-esteem issues. But what God brought to me was a word. He brought the word to me to say, I am blessed and highly favored. Unwavering in that claim. I am proud to serve the Most High, but it is humility that should be my aim. Now I appreciate your appreciation, this fleeting fame of hand, but these words that I serve you, they're part of a master's plan. blessed and highly favored. What this means is my eyes is that I know, that I know, that I know, that I know that I am favored by one on high. Blessed and highly favored. See, I was chosen from the womb. It is by uplifting the Creator that my gifts then make me room. And I do not claim perfection or feign everything to know. It is by my drawing nigh to God and all of this I grow. You see, God has reached down and grabbed me up out the alleyways and kept a guy who they said was too soft to lay on some streets. When top of guys have gone their way. And he put a protection over top of me and would not let me die. Even when I smoked so much cocaine that I had brain seizures. I woke up banging my head against a wall. Woke up 9 blocks away from where I started, wondering how the hell I got there. He protected me. Through those times I was nodding out behind the wheel of a car. Waking up at the last minute to swerve from crashing over the bridge into the Anacostia River. God had his hand on me. And he still got his hand on me today. And all he's saying, Andre, do it my way. Do it my way. I got work for you to do. Surrender to me. So this convention for me, y'all, is going to be my jumping off point. I'm going home and call the website stuff out. Close the bank account. One day at a time.